Get your Bibles out tonight. Romans chapter 12, if you would. Romans chapter number 12. Hope you had a nice afternoon. Maybe you got a chance to sit in the refrigerator for a moment. That would be nice. Beautiful night to go out for ice cream after church. The kids give me $5 if I say that. If you're looking for a good spot for ice cream, let me know. I've tried them all. All of them. There's some that are better than others. Romans chapter number 12. Nathaniel, are you there? Could you read verse 5 nice and loud? Like, stand up and turn around and read it nice and loud. Excellent. Thank you. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. You pulled your morning message and you're re-preaching. No. That is a good thought. And that's where we're going to start here tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to be in your house. And God, we're thankful that we can worship and serve you with others. God, thank you for the common bond we have in you. Thank you for the bringing us together. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless service here tonight once again, that we'd be encouraged, strengthened, and convicted where necessary. Lord, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified. It's been good to sing together here tonight. It's been good to hear the testimony of salvation, Lord. And God, I pray that Lord, may we be an encouragement to one another through song, but now through the preaching of your word. Lord, we need you. I need you right now, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Just automatic. I don't know how, but you know, with not a lot of instruction, do little people learn how to walk, right? I mean, you don't really, just by the example around them, do they see that? It's not like you're sitting there, okay, now put one foot in front of the other. I don't even know if you could teach someone how to walk. I'm sure physical therapists, is Chet here? Is Chet here tonight? Chet's going to school for physical therapy. But there's some things that you need to be taught. And as a church, there's things that you need to be taught. And thankfully, we have the Word of God that teaches us. In Romans chapter 12, we find some things that we just need to be taught. The process of acting as a body is a learned process, meaning it's almost unnatural. Say, why is it unnatural? It's unnatural because, well, we're going to see, it goes against our nature because it involves preferring others. It involves putting our will aside and allowing Christ to work through us. Well, that's unnatural. That needs to be taught. At our house, we're constantly trying to teach principles, some very detailed, some larger, to prepare our young children as best as we can for what lies ahead in the next step. One day, mom and dad are not going to be standing right next to them. For right now, we're a great resource and we can help them with things and see things. As we see problems in our children, we do our best to correct them and curb those areas. Well, so it is in the church. There's areas in ourselves that we need some encouragement, and this is Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is a great encouragement to the Christian. Why? Because not only it starts at a really strong fix this, but then it gently goes through and kind of gives us a to-do list. How many of you like to-do lists? I like to-do lists. It helps me. We have digital to-do lists, we have paper to-do lists, napkin to-do lists, written on everywhere, to-do lists. They help me. Well, God says, I have a to-do list for you here tonight. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, as we look at the body of Christ tonight, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. As we spoke this morning, one of the common threads, one of the common difficulties in understanding or making application to the church or the body of Christ, what is the issue that we see going all the way through? It's an authority issue. Who's in charge? We have a great trouble in the church house when we fail to remember that God's in charge. And we get things out of whack. And Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 just jumps right into it and reminds us, you're not in charge. You are to present your bodies a living sacrifice. You're to give up. Say, I'm no quitter. We aren't on our will. When our will and God's will come at odds, who should yield? Me or God? Well, certainly me. And here's some great instruction. Whether, how have you had this for dinner growing up? Take it or leave it. Ever that was our options. You can either eat this or you're not eating anything. And I was lucky if I got the second option. It was, you're eating that. I hate it. I don't care. You better eat it while it's warm because it's even worse cold. Tuna noodle casserole with peas is awful cold. There's no amount of milk that makes that stuff go down good. And you know what? God is presenting some things of, this is what you need to take care of. This is where we're at. Well, I don't like that. That's not really an option. For this family to work, here's what is necessary. You present your body a living sacrifice. You say, God, whatever you want to do, I'm in. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As we said this morning, what is it that God wants us to be? Number one, He wants us to be holy. And you know what that says? I want you to be holy. It's almost like Romans chapter 12 is written by the same person that wrote our previous verses this morning. We are to, this is how we start. Offer our body as a living sacrifice and be not conformed, but transformed. Be transformed. That means there needs to be a process by which we take what we once were and change it into what we ought to be. Where are you at in that process? If this is holiness, and this is the point of salvation, where are you? This is not a timeline. How much transformation has happened? For the body of Christ to be effective, there has to be a transformation from the inside out. Oh, you can cut your hair and you can do all that or whatever. But to allow the Holy Spirit of God to work inside your heart, that is what is needed. This is where we start. Next, look at this. Look at the importance of, look at verse 3. I want you to look at verse 3, 10 and 16. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We're going to read two more verses, and I want you to think about this. What is the problem? Why is he writing these verses? Look at verse 10. It says this, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. Look at verse 16. be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. When I read those three verses, you know what I think? There's a problem with pride somewhere. If he has to say those three things when he's talking to the body of Christ, that tells me there's a tendency, a possibility of pride showing up in the church. The results of pride are never good. Pride's a sin. God hates pride. Pride causes destruction. Pride leads to anger. Pride leads to bitterness. Pride leads to self-righteousness. God says in the church, I want to tell you some things to prevent pride. He says, don't think of yourself more high than you ought to. Isn't that what he says in verse 3? God loves you. I love those verses where he tells us that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. But here he says, you ain't nothing special. I mean, you are. I'm dying for you. But be careful that you're not thinking yourself more highly than you ought to. Ever see those little yippy dogs? You know what I'm talking about? Mrs. Martinez, are you familiar with those? Who do you have? What's your dog's name? Dusty. Dusty weighs approximately 3 pounds, 2 pounds. How much? 12, 14 pounds. How big is Titus? No, how big is Rudy? 165 pounds. That's after birth? That's no puppies. Who thinks they're in charge? Dusty. 12-pound dog going around yipping at the 165-pound dog. Hey, don't think of yourself more high than you ought to. And we look at that and go, what on earth? Ruby could just go like this. Is this interaction to one another? I think this is a careful relationship between us and God. Hey, be careful that you remember, again, who's in charge. Be careful that you remember that Christ is the head of the church. Be careful that you're not trying to lead Christ and that he's leading you. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. You're no better than anybody sitting around you. He says that to prevent pride in our heart. He tells us to prefer one another. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. Why does he tell us to prefer somebody else? Because he knows, the Holy Spirit of God knows in the church, even for the Christian, that we're all susceptible to pride. And he says it's no good in the church. Verse 16. Be of the same mind one to another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. It means humble yourself. After reading this passage multiple times, I am convinced that pride is a problem and cannot be overlooked. If we are to fulfill what it is that God desires from us as a church, this has to be a ready thought on our mind. Am I allowing pride to take root inside my life? He reminds us in verse 4, Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, talking of the body of Christ. Number one, it begins with a sacrifice. Number two, we ought to take efforts to prevent pride. Number three, we see the importance of others. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, it says, for as we have many members in one body, for all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Verse 6, what is the benefit of this? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Why the prophecy? Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Here it goes on to give some lists of gifts. The importance of others. Why? Because everybody's got a different gift. Everybody has a different ability. And I'm so blessed by our musicians. Maybe if I put the time into it and practiced, I might know. There's a gift there. Hudson came home Thursday. He's like, Mrs. Huber was playing the piano without even looking at the notes. Abby or Sophie responded, that's what happens when you play since you're five. Right? Mrs. Huber? There's definitely a gift. There's some teachers in our midst that have an ability to take the thoughts of the scriptures, develop a thought, make it practical, applicable to... Not everybody can do that. There's some in our midst that have a gift of generosity, that see things, that can build things, that can serve others, and they're all different. The importance of others. It's important to have others because of all the different gifts that are represented. He then gives us a to-do list, starting in verse 9. These are not suggestions. This is not, I think Pastor Seatman was reading a list this morning in his Sunday school class. He said, it's not like, okay, do verse 9, and then when you get to the next thing. No, these are things that we ought to be always working on. I know it's somewhat of a lengthy passage, 9 through 21. I want to read it. The verses are short, but please pay attention. And maybe ask the Lord, we're about to read something that you would desire from us. Can you show me an area of improvement? And the Bible says this in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. God says this is how we act towards one another, and this is how we act towards those that are out. That's a to-do list. If you order a large package at from somewhere, it'll have the little emblem on the side of the box of how to lift, right? Brother Helm works at Lowe's, and I'm sure these are two men things, and they do probably ridiculous amounts of training on how to lift heavy things. And they want you to use the strength of your body so you don't hurt yourself. And I asked myself this question as I was studying for this and preparing for this. What is the strength of the body? What makes the body of Christ strong? Like, if I were to lift something up, I wouldn't use my pinky fingers because there's not a lot of strength in there. If I were to lift something up, I would try and use my biceps or my leg muscles to try and lift something. Those are the strongest muscles I have. And they're not the strongest to begin with anyways. So as the body of Christ, as we're offering ourselves as a sacrifice, doing what is necessary to prevent sin and pride to come into our heart, seeing the importance of others because they all have different gifts and we all blend together, and we are evaluating this to-do list, now what? As we start making application of these things, what should I be, where's the strength? Well, turn over a page, Romans chapter 14. I want to explain to you the strength of the body of Christ. In verse 1, it says this, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." I want to remind us tonight that this is a learned process because, again, in ourselves naturally, this is not what we would normally do. Him that is weak in the faith, the Bible says, receive ye. Normally, we take the things that are weak and we push them away. We only want the strong. And God says, as I work inside of you, and as you do these things, why would I take someone that's weak in the faith and push them away? Because of pride. Because I think of myself more highly than I ought to. That's what happens. That's why we have to consciously make an effort to undo that wiring. The high school class has been working on what is that thing called? That. It's this little digital board thing. And they program it to do stuff. Joe is like, "Dad, check this out." He's like, "Dude, what? Look." I go in and this light flashes. And that's awesome, son. I mean, that's amazing. You made an LED light flash. He's like, "Yeah, I know. Isn't that so cool?" All right. He's like, "I programmed that. I told it what to do." You know what we need? We need the Holy Spirit of God to program us on what to do. Yes, we're working on what to be, but after we begin that process, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye him." Look at verse 12 of the same chapter. "So then every one of us shall give himself account, give him. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Verse 13, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Hey, can we, as the body of believers, as the body of Christ, be patient with those that are weak in the faith? Or those that are maybe immature? Could we just be patient? Hey, if there's one thing I know I need to work on, it's patience. I'm not good at being patient. I don't like learning patience.
Yeah.
Because to learn patience, you got to be in just situations that try your patience. As we strengthen the body, let's be patient with one another. As people grow. They're probably not as far along as you are. But could you cut them a little slack? Don't be so quick to judge others. Just, you're going to give an account of yourself to God. Let's not judge anybody else. One of the worst things we can do is to judge someone's intentions. Oh, that's dangerous. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're trying to strengthen the body here tonight. Number one, say number one. Do you see what time it is? No, I know. Under the last point of strengthening our body, number one, let's be patient. Number two, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 24. The Bible says, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." Say, are you encouraging stealing? No, that's not what that means. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Now, what that means is, I'm going to do everything I can to help you succeed. Don't be selfish. To strengthen the body, let's be generous. Seek the good of others, even at our own expense. What do I get out? If you're asking the question, what do I get out of this? We need to be reprogrammed. For the strength of the body is in patience. It is not in selfishness. It's in generosity. Let no man seek his own. What do I... Again, there we go back to Romans chapter 12 with the warning of pride. Say you don't get anything. Say it costs you something for someone else to succeed. Why would I do that? Because that's the strength of the body. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to spend some time, mainly the remainder of the message in this area here. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 25. Bible says in Ephesians 4:25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Do you see that this is a taught behavior? Because people will lie to cover their own self. I will lie to make sure that I win. No, that's not right. We need to be absolutely truthful in all that we say. For there will be strength in the body with that. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. And then similar to the verse Nathaniel read to us. For we are members one of another. He's talking to the church. He's talking to believers. Be absolutely truthful. God is the God of truth. Yeah, sometimes I don't like the truth. Well, we need to approach truth with grace. If you ever cut your hand, you put the Band-Aid on, good idea is to put a little Neosporin on there. Triple antibiotic ointment. Are you familiar with this stuff? It helps you. It helps. That's kind of what that grace does with the truth. It just kind of helps heal that. Good verse 29 of the same chapter. Trying to strengthen the body here tonight. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Don't be critical and tear down people. That doesn't help anybody. Be an encourager. Build up. How many of you have ever made a decision that you regretted? Sure. How much did it help after you made that decision and you regretted it when someone came by and said, I told you so? None. It actually made me more ashamed. Made me actually want to bury my head in my pillow and not come out for a couple years. When someone makes a bad decision, even for the cause of Christ, and they come back meekly and humbly and say, I messed up, that is no time to go, I told you. See? No, that's the time to go and be an encourager and help them make the right decision. Sometimes the children at the house, they'll do something wrong and they'll just handle a situation. It's not worth punishing them, Nathaniel, but it is worth mentioning. So we bring them back and make them go through the whole scenario again. We kind of rewind and make them do it right. Hey, you didn't handle that right. Why don't you come back here? I know it was about 4 seconds ago, but let's try that again, doing it the right way. And you know, sometimes when you go the wrong way and you come back to that starting point again, it is helpful to have someone help you to go the right way. That'll be an encouragement. That'll strengthen the body of Christ. I don't get to say I told you so, but I was right. Yeah, but it's not about being right. It's about strengthening the body. Be careful that you not allow pride in at those times too. Because being proud is being pretty critical. I don't know about you, but I sin. And I handle things wrong sometimes. And I need encouragement. Just like you. You can try and push me down. That's not going to help anybody. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." To strengthen the body, we need to be patient. We don't need to be selfish. We need to be truthful. We need to be an encouragement. Here we need to be forgiving. Forgive one another. Do not let any root of bitterness remain. Get rid of anger. Get rid of fighting. Slander. Don't intentionally try and hurt another person. Maybe there's some things in your heart that tonight you want to get right with somebody. Hey, I know we've had a rift here and it's been a little bit, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it like that. I didn't intend to hurt your feelings, but I bet it did. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? You know what that does? That strengthens the body. It doesn't allow a division to come in. Maybe tonight, there's something somewhere within here that not anybody knows about, just two people. And you just want to go and, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Can we pray together for a second? I'm sorry, I wasn't an encouragement to you when you came to me. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. I like this. Speaking to yourselves in hymns, or psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to worship together. That strengthens the body. About a year ago, we were just getting back into church. And we were trying to do stuff online. Remember those 11 long weeks of, were we back in church by now? About a year ago? I think so. It was pretty close. It was right around then, right? It was right after Mother's Day or so. Mm-hmm. Seemed like forever. And we were trying to do stuff online, and we were using the best that we could with what information we had, and we didn't know where we were at. We thought we were all going to die. I mean, that's what we thought. I didn't think we were all going to die. But after a while, I mean, it was great singing in our living room together, but there's something about getting together with other believers and worshiping the Lord. That's an encouragement. We ought to encourage each other to worship together. It's not wrong to call up a friend and say, hey, you want to come to church with me? It's an encouragement. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Just two more thoughts, and then we'll be done. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, in the fear of God. Understand the context here is husbands and wives. but it's certainly a good thought. If that's a strength of a marriage, I bet it's strength in the church house. Because the similarity of Christ giving his life for the church, he uses as husbands and wives. The passage here can go both ways. They're kind of parallel. And when within a marriage, the husband submits to the wife and the wife to the husband, that works good. God blesses that. Hey, I bet in the church house, when one another submits to one another in the fear of God, I bet that's a blessing to die to self daily. It's called being considerate of others, maybe. Kindness. That'll strengthen the body. Lastly, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Hey, the Lord's forgiven us of quite a bit, yes? And if you think it, in your heart and mind that what you are unforgiving of that person is justified, I don't know how you could come up with that conclusion. The Bible says in verse 14, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Be patient, even when mistreated or offended. Forgive even the worst offenses, just like God has forgiven you. And you know what we call that? We call that charity. And above all these things, put on charity. Hey, when we forgive others, why do we do that? Because we love that person. So to be a strength to the body, be patient. Don't be selfish. Be truthful. Be an encourager, one that builds up. Forgive one another. Encourage one another to worship together. Die to self daily and be patient. This week I've read through Amos a couple times, and Amos 7:14 says this, "Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go and prophesy unto my people Israel." I don't think the Lord sent me to Israel. But 3 years ago, you voted unanimously to be your pastor. Not how I would have chosen it. Thankful for the opportunity. And I just want a church, I just want you to know that as your pastor, I love you. I am so thankful for you. Even the hardest of members, and I'm not going to say who, Nathaniel. Even the most difficult ones. I'd have it no other way. I am so blessed to call you the flock. I'm so blessed to be your pastor. And I just love you. I know I'm not the best preacher or teacher, but if I could be guilty of anything, it would be that I love you. Let's all stand. Strengthen the body of Christ. Let us be more patient. Let us not be selfish. Let us be truthful. The builder up of men. Forgiving. patient. I don't know, maybe there's something that needs to be fixed here tonight. Maybe there's an issue. Maybe there's a thing. Maybe there's in your heart there's pride. Maybe you do think of yourself more highly than you ought, and you don't prefer others, and you maybe you just want to come and fix that tonight. In a moment, we're going to have just a short invitation. I invite you to come. Maybe you come with somebody. Maybe after service, you just say, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Don't make it a big deal. Just make it easy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to come into your house. Lord, I am so thankful. Thankful for the church you've blessed us with. Each and every individual here. Lord, I pray that as a whole, we would honor and glorify you. Lord, I pray you'd use this message for your honor and glory. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning, this evening?